Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org/store. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As Beth just told you, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio. With us today are Steve, who does customer service and technical issues, and a host of other things, and I'm Janice Kroemer, and I'm the director of the group. For those non-members out there listening, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. We call ourselves AGLCA because America's Great Loop Cruisers Association is a mouthful, but we're an organization of people who share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the Great Loop. Our primary purpose is to share information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to visit, see all the free stuff, and then become a member. Okay, many of our loopers will be spending the summer in the Chesapeake. It's a great cruising area. It's huge. There's so much to do and see. Tom Hale, who is the editor of Waterway Guide, family of print and online cruising resources, and a great Admiral sponsor of AGLCA, will lead us on a discussion of this body of water. Tom is uniquely qualified as he's been the cruising guide for Chesapeake, and he's written for magazines on the Chesapeake. We just made a quick executive decision. We are going to break today's show into two segments. There's just too much to cover on the cruising Chesapeake Bay to do in a 20 or 25-minute show. So Tom will be back next week to basically tell us things to do on the bay. Tom, welcome. Thanks so much for helping today.
Well, thank you, Janice. It's my pleasure. I've actually been a member of AGLCA for about 4 years. I guess I'm still in the planning stages. I was fortunate enough to move. I grew up in an island off the Atlantic coast of New England, but I moved to Chesapeake in 1985, and I've been cruising here just about ever since. I have no idea how many anchorages there are in the bay. I think my lifetime count is about 87 distinct ones so far, but I'm just beginning.
Tom, let me interject for a minute. I forgot to tell everyone, if you want to call in with any questions or comments for Tom, the toll-free number is 877-497-1815.
Oh, thank
Tom,
you,
just
Janet.
How big is Chesapeake Bay?
Well, the Chesapeake Bay proper is just about 200 miles from the headwaters at Havre de Grace and down to Lynn Haven Inlet on the Atlantic coast. It is the largest estuary in the world. It is a very, very, very prolific source of seafood. In fact, until very recently, Reedville, Virginia was the second highest fishing port landing in the United States, second only to Dutch Harbor, Alaska. The bay is only a couple miles wide at the northern end, but down at the southern end, it, in places, it exceeds 30 miles.
Does it really?
Yeah, and it's sort of three distinct areas, you know, obviously upper, middle, and southern. People think, oh, the bay is so shallow, and they're right. It averages about 20 feet deep, and I've navigated everything from kayaks to 75-footers that draw 10 feet, and I've run aground in all of them. So I don't really think a reputation being shallow is totally deserved. I think it's our error as skippers that we always try to cut the point, shave the point a little too much. Fortunately, the bay is very forgiving. The bottom is generally mud and very soft. There's so much to tell you about the bay. I thought I would sort of tell you some of the key features of the bay that make it an interesting place to cruise. And then if we have time, I'll mention a couple of cruising spots, but that may have to wait till next week.
Sure.
Every war that our country has fought has had, the Chesapeake has played a role, from the Revolution to the War of 1812, the Civil War, World War One and Two, and most of us got pretty good education in history during school. If you want to dig into American history, between the Williamsburg, Yorktown, Jamestown series of museums, there's a tremendous amount to learn. But I would like to just recommend some places where you can learn specific history of the Chesapeake Bay.
Sure, that'd be great.
And in no particular order, I usually think of the bay from north to south, although my experience with the HELCA is people experience the bay south to north. Let me just tell you a little bit about where I would recommend you go to learn about the bay, because you'll have such a much greater appreciation for the bay when you have a chance to learn a little bit about our area. Probably the preeminent historical facility on the bay is the St. Michael's Maritime Museum, and they very much focus on the vessels that have been developed on the bay, that have worked the bay, and the history of the bay from the perspective mostly of the European perspective. The museum there in St. Michael's should be on everyone's list, even if you're only going to make a couple of stops going up the Chesapeake.
Where is it again, Tom?
St. Michael's, which is on the Miles River, which is just a little bit south of Annapolis.
Okay, thank you.
It's a beautiful anchorage. It's one of the few towns on the bay where you can literally walk to a grocery store. You can walk to several ice cream stores. And it's really quite a lively, popular tourist town. But the museum is fabulous, and they have a great number of the iconic Chesapeake Bay workboats there, from skipjacks to oyster byboats. They have a working marine railway. They're rebuilding a famous Chesapeake Bay skipjack. So that really should be on everyone's list of places they must see on the bay. Another one, though, that's a little different but equally, I think, interesting is the Solomon's Marine Museum. Now, the difference between marine and maritime is marine, they get much more into not just the history of the people on the boats, but they also get into the geology, the biology, the fish, the fisheries, and they tend to give a little bit more attention to the Native Americans who were here first, obviously, and you can learn a lot about how the early settlers from Europe learned from and adopted the ways of the Native Americans who were here initially. Again, it's another museum that really should be on your list. It's easy to get to from any of the marinas in town, and if you anchor, you can take your dinghy into the museum. I should caution you that St. Michael's, you can't dinghy to the museum, but there's a great big floating dinghy dock in the creek, and which borders the museum, so it's virtually the same. So from those two museums, you will learn a lot about the bay and the boats you see out there, the workboats you see out there, and I highly recommend that you visit both just to get a deeper appreciation of what you're actually looking at. Again, the Solomon's one goes into the geology as well, and you can learn where to go on the bay if you would like to find fossils and shark's teeth. They're quite prolific if you know where to go.
Uh-huh.
Then the next museum is actually my favorite, and it's a bit out of the way. It's out on Tangier Island, and it's called the Tangier Museum and Interpretive Cultural Center. And the Interpretive Cultural Center is kind of important. You see, Tangier is very remote and very small, and the people out there actually still speak with an accent that is believed to be evolved or devolved from Cornwall.
I'm sorry, from?
And they are very, it's a small island. You either work the water or you don't work. And their museum is a fascinating museum to learn about the culture of people who have been working the water for hundreds of years. And it's a small museum that you could easily spend several hours and learn about the watermen and the different techniques they use and the ships that they've craft, the boats that they've built. There are many unique boats out here on the bay, from the Oyster Bay boat that we all recognize, the Chesapeake Bay Skipjack, the last remaining sailing working skipjacks, oyster boats, the iconic Chesapeake Bay Dead Rise crab boats, the very low freeboard barcats or crab scrapes. You'll learn a lot about all these boats from the perspective of the men, and it has been historically men who've worked the water. So that would be my another museum I would highly recommend that you visit.
Okay, great.
Over
I think we're going to break for a quick commercial. Steve, are you ready? I think
the Renaissance Vinoy St. Petersburg Resort and Golf Club is the only luxury St. Petersburg waterfront hotel that combines a private marina with all of the exceptional amenities of a world-class resort. Visitors can enjoy the newly renovated lounge-like lobby, library, cafe, resort shop, and expanded promenade bar. As a marina guest, you have access to an 18-hole championship golf course and 12-court tennis complex, 4 restaurants, a full-service spa, and a fitness center equipped for an exhilarating workout. They will even bring the resort's distinctive dining experience to you with a special menu for dockside dining on your boat. For more information or to make a reservation, visit www.vinoymarina.com or call 727-824-8022. Renaissance Vinoy Resort and Golf Club is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thank you, Beth.
So I got that on the rebound because I had to go answer the front door. I muted my microphone and then had to very quickly play that commercial before we ran out of time there.
No problem. Thank you. Okay, Tom, if you only had, say, a week to do the bay, what would you think would be the most important things to do?
Well, it would, of course, would depend greatly on whether you're in the upper bay or the lower bay. Everybody who wants to see the bay will want to see Solomon's, St. Michael's, and Annapolis. And they're all well worth seeing. The upper bay is very, very much more heavily populated. There'll be a lot more boat traffic. The harbors are close together. It's a easy place to get a sense very quickly of the city life for the Baltimore or Annapolis or the very secluded, quiet anchorages that you'll find in the Wye River. So the Annapolis area is certainly one place that you would want to try and get to if you're going to see the bay. If you're coming out of the Norfolk area, I think you would definitely want to try and get into Reedville, Virginia, Tangier, and the lower part of the Potomac. The Potomac River itself is worthy of an entire program. There's so much to see and do on the Potomac, and it's very, very, very underutilized. I've been out there on the 4th of July and not seen another boat underway.
Are you serious?
Seriously.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's spectacular cruising.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going to be on the bay, Janice, you're going to want to find crabs. Everybody comes to the bay for crabs for good reason.
Crabs.
But there are a couple that I would recommend as sort of the best ones that I know of. You can get the crabs anywhere, just about. Curiously, you can't buy steamed crabs on Tangier because there's not that many tourists out there, and there's no market for it. But if in the upper bay, probably the crab place I would recommend is Waterman's Crab House in Rock Hall. Cantler's restaurant is on Mill Creek just north of Annapolis, another great place to sit outside and eat crabs. St. Michael's comes up again here with the Crab Claw Restaurant, very popular place to eat crabs. Crisfield, Maryland, on the eastern shore, has got a number of great crab houses. And in the little town of Reedville, Virginia, the Cockrell Creek Seafood has crabs, and you can sit at a table outside of the crab house there picking your crabs and have a beautiful view, and then you wash your hands and put all the trash in their trash cans and go across the creek to the ice cream store. So I think Reedville Cockrell Creek Seafood is probably my favorite place to get crabs on the bay. And along with crabs goes crab cakes, and every town on the bay has, of course, world famous and the best crab cakes. So let me
That claim here in Charleston, too.
Yeah. Well, I found a place to get crabs, which I thought was crab cakes, which I thought was pretty good. And then I was on Tangier Island, which is the Waterman's Island, and found out where they go to get their crab cakes. So I think I can tell you on pretty good report that the best crab cakes on the bay are in a little village of Tylerton on Smith Island. That's where people from Tangier go to get their crab cakes. But also, if you like crab cakes, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Hilda Crockett's Bed and Breakfast on Tangier. They have their dinner is all-you-can-eat crab cakes and clam fritters, and apparently there are other things on the menu, but I never get that far. So if you like crab cakes, Tylerton on Smith Island and Hilda Crockett's are two places that are different from any place else you're going to find the perfect crab cake, and I think you'll be happy with what you get.
Fantastic. Tom, I want to go on for a few more minutes this week. Why don't we go, if it's okay with you, since our loopers are basically going in the northerly direction, they'll hit the south part first.
Yep.
Anchorages.
Okay.
What are the best anchorages as you leave, just say, Norfolk?
All right, coming out of Norfolk, the anchorages I would recommend are you're going to probably head up the western shore. Mobjack Bay is a large area with a dozen different places to go, but the East River of Mobjack Bay is lovely. If the weather is settled, you can anchor right behind New Point Comfort and have several miles of white sandy beach all to yourself. In the Deltaville area, probably the most popular anchorage is Fishing Bay. It's open to the south, so you get nice cooling breezes, beautiful beaches. There's actually Wi-Fi generally available there. We find that every spring and every fall, as the snowbirds go up and down, it's a very popular place to go. In the Rappahannock, I would recommend Urbana. Is a lovely little town, and it's another one of those towns you can actually walk to a grocery store. So Urbana would be a place I would highly recommend. And across the Rappahannock from that is the Coratomon River, which is so spectacular it has its own cruising guide. Beyond that, Reedville to get your crabs, for sure. And there's a fisherman's museum there to talk about the fishing industry that made Reedville such a leading fishing port. Then when you go past the Potomac, the mouth of any of these rivers can get quite darn rough, and the mouth of the Potomac is no exception. It's probably the roughest spot on the bay. But if you can duck up into the Potomac between the Yocomico River and the St. Mary's River, there are just two absolutely spectacular rivers to cruise and to anchor just off the bay. Beyond that, when you go to Solomon's, if you don't want to go to a marina, there are plenty of good marinas. There are lots of places to anchor in both Back Creek and Mill Creek. And over in what's called the Narrows, there is a public dock where you can tie up your dinghy and you'll be right across the street from the boardwalk with the restaurants. So certainly you can anchor in Solomon's and have all the pleasures of going ashore. Then coming from Solomon's, you have a little bit of a way to go before you get in too many other anchorages. But in the Choptank is another river you could spend several weeks in. The water color there is a little bit brighter, a little bit bluer, a little bit cleaner. It's just lovely. And Harris Creek has a number of beautiful anchorages. I would recommend those for anchorages. And above that, you start getting into the Annapolis area. If you want to go to St. Michael's, which I would strongly recommend, you can go to a marina. You can anchor just outside of the harbor. Or if the weather's a little bit unsettled, just across the Miles River is Leeds Creek, which is a lovely anchorage, and you're unlikely to have more than three or four other boats sharing it with you. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot. Then as you leave St. Michael's, I know you'll be in a hurry to get to Annapolis, but you would be really remiss if you didn't turn into the Wye River. It's a wildlife management resource area with half a dozen or a dozen small anchorages. At night, there isn't a sign of civilization. It's really, if you like to anchor in quiet, remote places, it'd be a mistake not to go into the Wye River. And above that, of course, you get into the Annapolis area. The Severn River is beautiful, but it's busy, 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 busy. If you're in Annapolis proper, you'll probably want to pick up a town mooring or go to a marina. Above Annapolis, the Chester River, if you have time, is great to visit, but probably you would want to go to Rock Hall, where you can either go to a marina or anchor in Swan Creek. And then now you're into the really good waters of the upper bay. You're into fresh water. You're into an area where there's rarely going to be any jellyfish in the summer. And you've got Fairley Creek, Wharton Creek. Still Pond is a beautiful anchorage, which is largely fresh water, so there's almost never jellyfish there. And then one of the seven natural wonders of the bay, in my mind, is Turner Creek near the mouth of the Sassafras River. I happened to be there in late June a couple of years ago, and there's anchorages, you know, right off the Sassafras, but as you look up the river, it's completely covered with yellow water lilies, bright yellow, big, beautiful lilies. It's really a spectacular sight.
Must be beautiful.
Absolutely. So those are probably the spots that you, if you want to anchor, you definitely should try and hit all of those spots.
Fantastic. I think this is probably a good place to break. You think so, Tom? We're about halfway through?
Whatever works for you. I was going to mention just that should you be here late in the season and you need to find a hurricane hole, there are plenty of places to go. Basically, if you're on the bay and there's bad weather, you want to make sure you're in a place with land as high as possible around you and no opening to the southeast or
east.
That's
important. Why don't you give us information on that?
Well, if you're since I already just took you up the bay, we'll start there. The Sassafras River would be a great place if you have to go and get away from severe weather. That's on the eastern shore. And Langford Creek off the Chester River is another very good hurricane hole. The eastern shore tends to be relatively low compared to the western shore, so you don't get as many good wind breaks there. I would say the southern bay has the best hurricane holes between the Piankatank River, the Coratoman River, Urbana, Reedville. Those are wonderful. And if you have the time to go up the Pocomoke River to Pocomoke City, you're miles from everywhere, and you're beautifully protected. So those would be excellent choices. If you're in the Solomons area, to go up the Patuxent River, St. Leonard Creek is very deep with very high banks, and that gives you a lot of options. Again, you can expect that the worst winds will probably be from the southeast or the east.
So it sounds like you've got plenty of options.
You do, but what you, as a cruiser, know yourself is that when you start to have to look around and make choices, all of a sudden you very quickly run out of time. So it's a good idea to always have a couple of things in the back of your mind. Just
have a plan, right.
Yeah.
Well, this has been very, very interesting. I think we're going to break here. Tom has been gracious enough to offer to come back next week. We'll be talking about marinas, things to do and see. Maybe more about the seven natural wonders of the bay, and should we touch on the West Shore, do you think, Tom?
I think so. I can certainly focus on that. There's so much to tell you about either the West or the East Shore, but the Western Shore has a greater variety of options for cruisers.
Okay, well, we'll talk a little bit about everything. Thank you so much, Tom. Remember, Tom is the editor of the Waterway Guide family of print resources and online resources, and Waterway Guide has great, their Cruising Chesapeake Bay is a must. For those members out there, this is a benefit to being a member. The discussion forum has been talking very much about the get-togethers that are going to happen on Chesapeake Bay. The Quinces are having a get-together in the southern section in mid-July, and the Gills will host a get-together in the northern section in August. If you're a member and interested in attending, just check out the discussion forum. Tom, again, thank you, and that's it for this week.
Thank
you. Everyone have a safe cruising.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Tom. Bye.
Bye-bye, y'all.